Nebuchadnezzar claimed that he covered the walls of Marduk's temple with gold. So in addition to being impressive in size, we should imagine parts of these temples gleaming, covered with gold, in the way that one would expect of the god of Babylonia. The structures themselves are remarkable, and they are displayed to their best advantage in a very well-designed urban plan. The main streets of Babylon are wide, about 60 feet, and they included a processional way that was used during the New Year festival. And this would be large enough for thousands of participants who would come to the city every year. The processional way was paved with limestone, and once again there are inscriptions recording Nebuchadnezzar as the sponsor of this great city. This area of Babylon was surrounded by a wall, and it would serve defensive needs, but its decoration is probably the aspect of the wall that is best known. The wall in the inner city was decorated with colorful glazed bricks. They're a deep blue, and they create figures of lions, which were sacred to Ishtar, in yellow and brown. And the figures of the lions are molded. They're in relief. So we've moved from stone relief sculpture to glazed brick relief sculpture. The lions are fierce. They walk along the street with the visitors to Babylon with their bared teeth. An example of one of these lions of the Babylonian wall is housed in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. This inner wall had 8 gates, and each of these gates is named after one of the gods. The Ishtar Gate, now in Berlin, is the best preserved, and it has been reconstructed in the museum there. The Ishtar Gate has a deep blue background, and once again we see rows of animals. In this instance, bulls, mythological dragons, which were sacred to Marduk, alternate back and forth, and the entire gate is bordered with rows of yellow and white rosettes. So this really is a stunning piece of architecture. And even though we've talked about the painting on palace reliefs, since we can't see it, it's a little bit difficult to keep in mind how vivid these decorations were. But the Ishtar Gate gives us an excellent example of what we're missing when we don't see the paint on earlier sculptures. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to build a significant palace for himself as a way to show the Babylonians that he intended to stay in their city. This was in contrast to previous rulers who would come to celebrate festivals or whenever the inevitable rebellions flared up, but generally lived elsewhere. Once again, Nebuchadnezzar's inscriptions help us out in our understanding of this palace, and they describe the imported cedar from Lebanon, as well as the gold, silver, and ivory decorations that were used in the construction of the palace. I should note here that Babylonian rulers tended to expand on their building projects far more than their military exploits. And so this is a pretty significant shift from what we saw with the Assyrians, who really were only interested in promoting the idea of their military success. Nebuchadnezzar's palace had a suitably large throne room. The throne room was about 50 to 166 feet, so it gives you an idea of what the extent of the palace was. The Babylonian throne room was not decorated with the slabs of relief sculpture, but more brick animals. So this motif that we saw on the exterior of the palace at the Ishtar Gate is continued on the interior. His successors, Cyrus and Darius of Persia, and even Alexander the Great, all lived in Nebuchadnezzar's palace.